It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Ephesians, we're in chapter 1, and we left off last time in around verse 21 here, and it says, "Therefore, far above all principality." And we know that this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Well, I see this word principality, and I think of the prince and the power of the air. I think of the devil. I think of how that he is here. He's not in heaven any longer. The Lord kicked him out of heaven when iniquity was found within him. He became Satan. And some people have referred to him as old Slewfoot, whatever you want to call him. He's sin. And God did not allow him to stay in heaven. We know that by studying the Word of God that he is the prince and the power of the air. He's here. He's around us. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is far above him. Verse 21 says that he's far above all principality. He's above everyone, especially the devil. He has all power, according to this, not the devil, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all powerful. There's no one, no thing that is more powerful than Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the creator. The devil thought he could take over and become better than God, bigger than God, and more important than God. But God kicked him out of heaven. And we see that Jesus Christ, officially, according to this, we're constantly reminded of who Jesus is. Jesus is God, and he's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It makes no difference what time period you're living in, whether it's time immortal or whatever. Jesus Christ is above everything. He's all in all. And then I read verse 22. And verse 22 mentions a couple of words here. And as we see this, the words that I want you to notice is this. The words are these. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Notice the word feet. When I see the word feet and head, now I know this saying that Jesus is the head. He's over all things. He's the head of all things to the church. But when I see this, and when I see the word feet, certain things come to my mind, especially back in the book of Genesis. And I read there how that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, specifically Adam. Adam, because of his sin, all have sinned. And the Bible says that, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men." Now, we know that we all die physically. When God told Adam that the day that he would eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if he ate of it, he would die. Well, some people who doubt the Bible says, well, he didn't die. He was still there. Well, I submit to you that he died spiritually. God said the day you eat of that forbidden fruit, you're going to die spiritually. So he died spiritually. He was separated from God. He was separated from the things of God that God wanted him to do on this earth. You read the book of Genesis and you'll find out that God had given him specific things to do as he was on this earth. But he ate of that forbidden fruit and he died spiritually. And we know that one day that he would die physically. And that's another result of eating of that forbidden fruit. Well, the Bible tells us that we all must die one day physically. But we're all born into this world. As we're born into this world, God says that we're born into sin. Now, I quickly add once again, I do not believe that God sends babies to hell. But when that individual who's born into this world comes to the age of accountability, then they must make a decision. When they understand there's a heaven and hell, and there's a Savior, and there's a devil, and the things that God wants the person to know, when a person realizes that, then they come to the edge of accountability and they must make a decision either for God or against God. You know, when I deal with someone and tell them about Jesus Christ, and they say, well, I'm not going to make a decision right now to ask Jesus into my heart. Well, they've already made a decision not to ask Jesus into their heart, and it was a decision to keep going the way they're going, and that's the way of the devil. The devil is trying to lead as many souls as he can to hell. When I speak to that person and tell them about Jesus Christ, that person who's come to the age of accountability, they must make a decision whether or not to receive Jesus Christ or to refuse him. And prayerfully, they'll choose Jesus as Savior. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to die physically one day, but it means that they have been made spiritually alive. The Bible tells us that we must be born again, and that's by asking Jesus Christ into our heart. It's a new life. We've passed from death unto life. When we go back in Genesis chapter 3 and we read that chapter, and we see how that Adam made an excuse why he did what he did. The woman made an excuse for doing what she did. She blamed the serpent. And in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now, this was a curse specifically upon the serpent, I believe. But I want you to notice chapter 3 and verse 15. Remember, back in Ephesians, I mentioned in verse 22 of chapter 1, the word feet and head. Well, in verse 15, God tells the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Well, we know that, women are afraid of snakes. I'm afraid of snakes. I don't go around petting snakes. I don't go around picking them up. I crush its head. Well, that's how you get rid of a snake. You don't crush its tail, but you crush its head. And that stops the snake. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head." Now the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head, "and thou shalt bruise his heel." Well, thou shalt bruise his head. We know that a head wound is deadly. But notice a wound to the heel is not deadly. Satan tried to kill Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Well, Jesus did die there, didn't he? But you see, he didn't remain dead. His heel was only bruised. And what I mean by that is this. He was crucified, he died, and he was buried, and he resurrected from the dead. His heel was bruised. That means he was injured. He died, but he didn't remain dead. Now, the head of the serpent, that bruise to the head is deadly. One day, the old serpent, old Slewfoot, old Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire, where he will never harm people again, where he will never lead people astray again. He is going to go to the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. And by the way, there's no day in the lake of fire. There is no day. There is no daylight. So the old devil, he's going to be tormented because the seed of woman, of the woman, not of the man. We know that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And because of Jesus Christ, we can live. We will live with him forever once we trust him as our Lord and Savior. And I've done that, and I pray that you've done that. But I want you to notice today that God gives us all information that we need about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. I think back in the book of Romans, and I go back to the book of Romans, and I look in chapter 3, and we often talk about what Jesus has done for us, about being justified and all of this. And because he is God, and because he is Jesus, because he is the Savior, because he gave his life for us, because he rose from the grave, in verse 23 of Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But I want you to notice with me, if you would, what verse 24 says. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You see, Christ has met all. He paid for all our sins. Now, if we believe on Jesus, we are justified freely by His grace. And that is as a free gift. And justification is acquittal. We are acquitted from sin and from any charge of it. It's divine righteousness that acts in justifying. It's righteousness, and righteousness is just. And it's just that attribute of God which is concerned with it. It's just like a broad, effectual shield stretched over the believer. And for all, like the house that with its open door invites men to take shelter from the coming storm of judgment. You see, the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied every claim forever. Jesus Christ has paid the price for all who believe, and they are fully acquitted from every charge and penalty. The Bible tells us whom God hath set forth a mercy seat through faith by His blood. And you see, on the Day of Atonement, on the mercy seat, that was overshadowed by the cherubim, the blood was sprinkled. And now the better blood, that which alone can take away sin, is upon the mercy seat of God. And God is faithful and just on account of that blood to justify the believer. We're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan thought he had won by seeing Christ die on the cross of Calvary. I can only imagine how that the demons of hell cheered as Jesus Christ gave up the breath of life. But how they must have, I don't know what they had thought when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He came out of that grave alive forevermore. And because He lives, you and I can live by trusting Him as Lord and Savior. And I go back into the book of Ephesians, and I read once again that in verse 22 it says that Jesus that and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. He's our leader. He's the one that gives us our marching orders. He's the one who gives us the courage to carry on in this world as His people, as His church. And verse 23 says, which is His body, that's the church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We are the representatives of Jesus Christ on this earth. We are His ambassadors. He died for us. He rose for us. He's in heaven for us right now. Jesus Christ is our leader. Should we not be following what He wants us to do and tell other individuals that they too can know Him as Lord and Savior? Should we not be telling other believers who have a need today, those believers who have maybe not doing what we would consider the right things in their lives, should we not share the Word of God with them and say, God loves you, and I want to help you as best I know how. I want to pray with you and help you to know more fully Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may be able to help a person today who knows Jesus Christ as Savior because you've been saved for a specific period of time, and you may be able to help that person today by helping them get into the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and especially loving them, letting them know that you love them, that Jesus Christ loves them more